We'll take a moment to lift up in prayer those that we share joys and concerns for. Leslie Nash had with her this morning Joel, so she was really joyful that Joel was here, but he was leaving on Friday for his job in Colorado, so she was concerned about that. As you can imagine, we had several college kids drifting in this morning, so we enjoyed celebrating with them. We also celebrated a grandbaby. Her name is Caroline Dykema. That's Bill and Barbara's new grandchild. And Bill told me that, unfortunately, he was not going to visit, but Barbara was going to visit this week. That's in, not Mississippi, it's in Alabama. And so we celebrate with them. Take a note of those people in your bulletin. Do you have additional joys and concerns that you would share today? Yes, Mark.
Hello. This week begins SOL season at the schools, so my prayer is for the kids and the teachers over the next 3 weeks or so.
Thank you, Mark. We can say a prayer for the end of school, too, can't we? Yeah. Let's turn to God and pray together. I invite us now, as we continue to get ready for prayer, to hold every woman in this world in your heart today as we pray. Oh God, today we lift up a special prayer, remembering those women who so badly want to be mothers, but are not able to do so, perhaps biologically, or are prohibited from adopting. They are all in our thoughts and prayers, as are all those joys and concerns that we have on our hearts today. We remember our own mothers. We remember the lessons that they taught us. And we also remember those women who gave birth so that others might be mothers. And we give thanks for their gift. And let us pray for those women and men who are mourning the loss of a mother. And those women who, for whatever reason, have chosen not to be mothers. All we pray for today. And God, we lift up now those people who had moms who are not worthy of celebration, and ask you to be with them. We offer a desire, O God, that all people have the kind of mothers that are worthy of celebration. And more than anything, we remember today that being a mother is not what makes one a woman. Give us all a path toward fulfilling your plan for our lives as a way to honor our birth mothers. Amen. I'm going to talk about her. Yes. She was calling out to me, Michael, you forgot Jesus' mother. And that is what our message is about today. But I'm going to guess that unless you were at the early service, you will never have thought of this before. I want to ask you to think about this a minute. Do you think Jesus' mom was bossy? Oh, there were a few murmurs. And, you know, perhaps you thought Jesus' mom was different than your mom. I don't know if you ever stopped for a minute to think about that. Mary, Jesus' mother's story is well known to all of you. You have all heard a lot about Mary. And since, you know, I think it was appropriate that today we all got a flower so we could remember our mothers, today we want to talk about Jesus' mother and see what we can learn from her, because I think there are some very important lessons. And so as we remember our moms today, we're going to start with the reading of a scripture of a time when Jesus and his mother were together when he was an adult. Let's look at John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, to Jesus, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The word of God for the people of God. So Jesus was 30 years old, and he went around and collected a lot of people that were following him, but basically he had done nothing. He just maybe got 12 guys, some of them fishermen together, and they formed a little band. But what had Jesus done by this point? His ministry was just beginning, and he and his mom and the disciples are invited to a wedding feast. This was a big deal in the ancient world. Very big deal. Wedding, we go to, what is it, like 3-4 hours? Maybe you'll go to the wedding, you'll see the wedding, maybe a reception after. If you eat, you know, whatever. This could be a whole week, a wedding feast in the ancient world. I can imagine what would happen if they ran out of wine on the third day and there were still supposed to be 4 more days. That would be very embarrassing, wouldn't it? Very embarrassing. Mary must have had some influence in the house where they went for the wedding. She's very concerned. She does not confront the host or the hostess. She goes to Jesus. Why in the world did she go to Jesus to talk to him about the fact that they were out of wine at this wedding? I've thought about that all week, and I came to realize something that we don't always think about. Mary had been living for 30 years knowing that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Chosen One. And he hasn't done anything yet. She's been waiting for 30 years for him to do something, right? I mean, you are the chosen one. She has been living with this for 30 years. And so I'm imagining the conversation at the wedding feast. Jesus, wouldn't this be a great hour, a great time for you to reveal yourself to the people? Sounds a little bit bossy to me. A lot bossy. She's doing the mom thing. She says, Jesus, this is what I want you to do. Did your mom ever boss you around, Catherine? Yeah. I think something like this may have taken place. But as I reflected on this and thought about this whole bossy Mary construction that I had built, I totally built this thing up. I really don't think Jesus took it that way. Because as I read this text, Jesus, who is a man now, 30 years old, and he's under no obligation to obey his mother, you know, when she's bossing him around, he does something wonderful and honors her. He says, Mom, how does this concern you and me? My time has not yet come. What we know is that Jesus goes ahead and performs the miracle, and he turns water into wine. The thing that is amazing to me about it is it's totally behind the scene. No one knows about it except Mary, a couple of servants, and later on the disciples are going to know about it. Jesus says, look, Mom, you may not fully understand God's plan for my life, and it may not turn out, Mom, exactly the way that you think it's going to. You don't realize, Mom, that my hour is going to come with some nails and a cross, but here. I'm going to perform this miracle and affirm what you know to be the truth. Because you have known all this time my true identity, and this miracle is to affirm you, Mother Mary. Now, if I'm right about this, what a great way to honor your mother. Wonderful, respectful, building up her self-esteem and her role in raising Jesus. And the lesson that we can all learn from this is the best way that we can honor our mothers, whether we grew up with them, we were given away for adoption, no matter who our mother was. The best way we can honor them today is to follow God's plan for our life. To be the person that God created you to be. It's a lesson from Mary and Jesus on this Mother's Day that we can never forget, and we've got to take responsibility and pass that lesson along to the next generation. To be the best person we can be, we need to share our stories and our resources and our lives with one another, and above all, follow God's plan for our lives. And when we do that, we will constantly be recharged by our experiences. We will grow in our faith when we are more concerned about others and God than we are about ourselves. The reason why you were all so uncomfortable when I said it was Jesus' mom bossy is you have all grown up having it pounded into your head that Mary was perfect. Every one of you has had it pounded into your head that Mary was perfect and she did everything perfect, and we've heard sermons about it. Look, I examined all the families in the Bible, and there aren't any perfect families in the Bible. Plenty of examples of what not to do, but there's no perfect family. And you know how that ought to make you feel today? It ought to make you feel good. It ought to make you feel included. It ought to make you feel like you're in good company. Because God's grace goes and covers us up like a warm blanket in the wintertime or a cool air-conditioned fan in the summer. And it means that you and I and our moms are all accepted, are all loved. There is not a, you know, I'm still looking for that Norman Rockwell picture-looking family out there somewhere. It's not in the Bible, and I haven't met them either. We all fall short. God loves you, and the more that you work at following God's plan for your life, the closer you will grow to God, to one another, and the better you will know yourself, and the more honor you will lay on your mom. Amen? Amen. Our invitation hymn today is Come and Find the Quiet Center. It's hymn number 575 in your chalice hymnal. I invite you to stand and sing with us together.
God is a generous giver of gifts that flow like a river from the mountain of life, bringing offerings and tributes and thanks and praise, for the gifts we give are the gifts of God. Please join me in singing.
We'll now receive our morning offering.
We'll now receive our morning offering. Thank you. us pray. At the wedding feast at Cana, you gladdened the guests with divine generosity, filled to the brim and flowing over. We offer our gifts with grateful hearts. Bless them in our lives to your service, that they may reveal your glory, nurture faith, and manifest the common good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're invited to come together around this table as those who belong to the household of Christ, brothers and sisters who form a family of the reborn and the reconciled, and who inhabit a universe of grace. Please join in singing our communion hymn. The words will be on the screen.
Sisters and brothers, gather the others. Come to the table of the Lord. Welcome the crying, the poor and the dying, to feast at the banquet of the Call up the preachers, send for the teachers, come to the table of the Lord. Summon young people, bring in old people, to share in the banquet of the Lord. We remember the words that Jesus said when he raised the cup and he blessed the bread. This bread is my body, God's covenant made new. This cup is my blood, which is poured out for you. Sisters and brothers, gather the others, come to the table of the Lord. Invite the needy, beckon the greedy, be fed at the table of the Lord, to be changed at the table of the Lord. Come to the table of the Lord.
Let us pray.
Dear God, you are our Father and our Mother. Your love for us took Jesus to the cross and brings us to this table. Jesus' body was broken so that we may share bread. We thank you for your unconditional love and for the people who nurture us, raise us, and bring us to love in your image. Forgive us when we stray from your love. Guide us to share and to serve you as we serve one another.
Our most Heavenly Father, you gave us Mary, and Mary gave us Jesus. Through that gift, O Lord, and through this cup, you have brought a new covenant. You've allowed us a path to change. Lord, all mothers have given so much to this world, just as Mary gave so much of her life to her son, that we might live.
Thank you.
then Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body, do in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." If you'll now stand and join in singing hymn number 622.
Want to remind you again about Connection Group sign up as you're leaving on the bulletin board June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And also, our sermon series Recharge has been leading up to our next sermon series, which is Share Your Story. And today, Reggie and Francis have one piece of paper which tells you a little bit about the sermon series, and on the back and the front, both, are suggestions about how you might share your story, write your story, or talk about your story of faith, of how your life has intersected with God. I hope you will all take those home and read them and start writing your story. Let's pray together. God, in your grace and with your help, transform the world. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.